What a delight to be with you this morning and participate with you in this special service. How many of you have heard of Christian Horizons? A good number. How many of you have either worked for or have family members or friends that have worked for Christian Horizons? I was just out in BC at some meetings and had somebody come up to me there and say, I used to work for Christian Horizons. Almost anywhere I go in Canada now, I run into somebody that has had a family member or someone that's worked for Christian Horizons. We are amazed at the work of God over the last over 50 years now with Christian Horizons. Started with a vision from one family, the Reese family, who had a son and wondered what God would have them do. And they, back in the late 70s, opened their first home in Waterloo. And today, Christian Horizons employs almost 4,000 employees, supports here in Ontario and Saskatchewan, supports 2,000 individuals. We are in four countries around the world, impacting tens of thousands. And it's all to the glory of God. As I was sharing with some of my coworkers that I was coming to speak here this morning, they begin to share with me some of their awareness and thankfulness for the work of this church in its involvement with friendship ministries, with families and volunteers that have been part of our family camp and our winter camp. And Sundays like this demonstrate the passion and the vision that this community has for creating communities of belonging. And I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to talk to you about what is challenging us as an organization as we think about what this is that God has called us to do. I'm just going to give a warning to the PowerPoint guys. I'm terrible at following my own PowerPoint. Be intuitive. Because I am going to forget all about it. A number of years ago, Christian Horizons experienced some challenges about who we were and who we are as a Christian ministry. And it really began to drive us in some new directions and begin to ask some new questions. And some of the things that we began to ask ourselves was, what does it mean for us to be a Christian ministry? When we say that we're a Christian ministry, what does that mean for us? And we wanted to know as well that being a Christian, how does being a Christian ministry change how it is that we do the work that we do, that we provide the supports that we do? We begin to ask a strange question for a social service agency. What does theology have to do with it? And we soon discovered it has everything to do with it. And that's what I want to kind of share with you this morning, is some of the challenges and some of the learning and some of the wrestlings that we have had around this. And what that led, and I've been with Christian Horizons for 30 years. Oh my goodness, I'm a grandfather now. That's unbelievable. About 15 years ago, we really began to ask this question in some significant ways. And I believe that some of the answers and some of the conclusions that we're coming to are some of the same ones that you as a church community are coming to, but they're ones that we're wanting all of us to be challenged by. And so I started being able to connect with and discovered that there were theologians all over the world that were having this conversation of theology of disability and what that means for the kingdom of God. One of the things that we all know, no one has to convince us of this. Belonging is a basic human need. We all want to belong. We need to belong. We need to know, and we want to know that we belong. And when we discover the mysterious way in which God has created us, I mean, right from the beginning of creation, he says it's not good for man to be alone. We need to be in community. We long to be in relationship with one another. Too often, people with disabilities are seen as being other and different and live at the margins of our communities rather than in the midst of our communities. And as a result of living at the edges of those communities, they can feel, because of that, that they are different and that they do not belong. But God's kingdom is to be different. God's kingdom is to create communities of full belonging. And I say full belonging because although people with disabilities might be physically and visibly present in our spaces, loneliness and isolation are the most common companions of persons with disabilities. One study that I'm aware of cited this, that a person living in a group home entertains a friend once every 18 months in their home. They live surrounded by communities, and they have occasional moments of welcome, but they visit rather than dwell in these spaces. We all know when we have experienced loneliness and isolation, it causes a disorientation in our mind and in our body and in our spirit. And this separation and loneliness can be more debilitating and more problematic and more disabling than the physical or the mental condition itself. God calls his church to be a place of full belonging, of welcome, of hospitality, of living withness. I love that picture of living withness. I mean, we see that in Christ, right? As he comes to dwell and tabernacle amongst us and be with his children. And it's the call that he has given to all of us to be truly with one another. Witness declares you are known, you are loved, you are wanted. I love that idea of witness, as God is with the Son and the Son is with us. And we are called to be with one another. For in that withness is when we truly begin to reflect the image of God. It's these experiences of withness that can bring healing to the mind, to the body, to the spirit. When someone discovers that they are not alone, that they are wanted, that they are loved. And the church plays a significant role in the healing of persons with disabilities, in their relationship with God, in their relationship with the community, and in their relationship with themselves. To truly belong, brings healing and hope. I want to briefly consider Jeremiah 31, 8 and 9. I'm going to look a little bit into Genesis and reflect for a few moments on the parable of the banquet to help us uncover this new vision that we have been having as Christian Horizons about this vision of belonging and the intention that God has for the future kingdom, but the present kingdom. As I said, Christian Horizons began to explore and engage in these global conversations a number of years ago with researchers, academics, self-advocates, with families. And we were quickly captured with this conversation for two reasons. I'm going to focus on one of them, but I want to touch on both of them. Firstly, we discovered that there is a growing and confused and conflicted conversation that is happening right now in our world, in our academic circles, that's affecting the thinking and increasing social expectations about how it is and if it is that people with disabilities are amongst us. It is a dangerous conversation that creates a differentiation between what it means to be human and what it means to be person. And there is not a guarantee that just because someone is born human, that they are given the attributes of what it means to be person. And the conversation simply goes like this. To be human is no different than to be born, and this is from one of the philosophers, to be born human is no different than to be born a guppy. There is no particular rights that come or privileges that come with simply being human. There are categories, specific categories that need to be reached in order for a person, or for order for a human to be designated as a person. Many of the people that we support within Christian Horizons would not measure up to the categories of what it means to be person. As a church, we need to be aware of those conversations. We have something to say about this. That all are created in the image of God, regardless of mental or cognitive disability. That to be a person is not something that you have to earn, that you have to measure up to. To be a person is simply to be known by God. It's a dangerous conversation that we need to be aware of. But I want to focus our attention this morning on the second conversation that we've become engaged in. And it has captured Christian Horizons so much that it has changed our value statement to people who experience disabilities belong to communities in which their God-given gifts are valued and respected. And what drove that vision statement was this following statement. Inclusion says, I will make room for you if you are here. Belonging says, I will go looking for you if you are not. What kind of community do you want to belong to? And the experience for so many people with disabilities is inclusion. And our society has done some wonderful things. But God is pushing us further. Not just that people are included if they happen to arrive, but when it is seen that they are absent, we will do everything in our power to find them and to make sure that they are brought into our communities. This has been a transformational statement for us. I am not exaggerating. It has become an obsession for us. As we think about what does it mean for us to create places of support, that people truly belong, that they truly are engaged. Bill Gavanta, a friend of mine, a chaplain and writer, says that there are three questions that we're all asking. And I think he's right. He said, all of us are asking the questions, who am I? Why am I? And to whom do I belong? I think he's correct. That all of us are asking those basic questions. Henry Nouwen actually had another group of questions that are very similar, that go to the heart of the same matter, that dig it even deeper for us. Henry Nouwen an academic and theologian, and in the last number of years of his life, in the mid-80s, joined a community in Toronto called L'Arche Daybreak. And it was his experiences there that caused him to reflect similarly on a group of questions that says that we are all asking these questions. Is there anybody that loves me? Is there anybody that is willing to stay home for me? Is there anyone that is willing to be with me when I am not in control? I mean, these are profound questions. And it's when those questions are left unanswered in our life that it creates an inner turmoil. And if much of our life is lived in separation and in isolation and in loneliness, those questions are not getting answered. But Henry says something very interesting. He says we don't find the answers to those questions by striving to answer them in ourselves. We actually discover the answers to those questions when we live in such a way that causes those answers, those questions to be answered in the lives of others. And it's a call, I think, that is uniquely designed for the church to answer. These are questions that all of us, including persons with disabilities, are asking. They're not asking different questions. They're wanting to know. They're needing to know. But who am I? Why am I? To whom do I belong? There's a beautiful vision in Jeremiah 31, 8 and 9 that I came across in one of my devotions a number of months ago. And I love the way that the New Living Translation puts it. Just read it and then I'll unpack it. For I will bring them from the north country and the distant corners of the earth. I will not forget the blind and the lame, the expectant mothers about to give birth. And a great company will return, and tears of joy will stream down their face, and I will lead them home with great care And they will walk beside the quiet streams and not stumble. I mean, many of us know the context of this verse. The exiles have been a long way from home for a long time. And God makes this promise to them. And he says, I will go and I will find you. And I will bring you home. Something powerful about home. And the community that God creates for us here is a picture of the home that we are moving toward. A place where you are fully accepted. Where you fully belong. Where you are fully wanted. My parents still live on a 100-acre farm north of Arthur. I don't get there as frequently as I should. My mother reminds me of that. There is something about when I reach the end, and they have a very long driveway that goes up to the farmhouse. There's something very special about when I reach the corner and turn to go up that laneway. And knowing who I will be encountering. And that my parents are there. And I am wanted and known and loved. That's the environment that we're to create here for all people, not just for people with disabilities. What we want to declare is people with disabilities are not different. They are people with the same needs, with the same wants, with the same desires, with the same hopes. And they do not want to live in isolation and in loneliness and in separateness, but to be fully part of the worshiping community because they have gifts and talents and the need to have these questions answered in their lives. And we are not fully reflecting the image of God unless all of his people are part of us. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and the body. Think about the parable of the banquet. It's similar to the picture that we have in Jeremiah, where God says, go out into the highways and the byways. And we sometimes forget this following word, compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Into the centers of our communities, not just at the margins, where they are recipients and observers, but they have the opportunity to fully participate. Some of the pictures that we get out of the beginning of Genesis. That recurring phrase that we see a number of times in Genesis 1, that God creates, brings light, the earth, the animals. And after each of those activities, he steps back and he looks at what he has done and he says, it is good. If anyone in the world could have stepped back from something and went, hey, I'm good, it was God. But that's not what he does here. He says it is good because he is anticipating the relationship and what this is going to mean for all of creation, and especially you and I, in the participation of this creation. And he invites us, he invites Adam and Eve to be co-creators with him in shepherding this new creation. One of the challenges is that often people with disabilities are recipients of care, and much more rarely, contributors of care. None of us just want to be receivers. See, God invites us too to participate in things. And there's things that we do, we participate in. And it's good for us to step back from and look at what we have been involved in and say, it is good. Not because it benefits us, but we know that we have contributed to the kingdom of God. We've contributed and participated in his community. But we need to afford those same opportunities and those same expressions to all of the members of our community. That they too can participate in a way that they are able to step back from what it is that they have contributed to, what they have been a part of, and say, it is good. Because it's one of the ways in which we are healed. It's one of the ways that we connect with God and we connect with one another. The other reflection that I just want to touch on is also found in Genesis. Chapter 2, verse 23. And at first, it might seem that this is kind of an odd verse to connect with this, but hang with me for a minute. The man said, as he's looking at Eve, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." So imagine Adam is put to sleep. It's been him and God and all of the animals. And when he wakes up, he encounters this new creature. And he doesn't look at her and say, "Oh, you're kind of different." He says these powerful words, "Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And I am convinced that those with disabilities are seeking the same response when they encounter us in our communities. That we don't begin with difference, but that we begin with bone of my bone and flesh of our flesh. You are us, and we are the body. And those are some of the things that we have been challenged with as we think about this whole thing of belonging, this whole expression of belonging. We have not arrived. We have so far to go. And we're encouraging the church community to come along in this growing understanding with us of how it is that God would have us to live with those that the world considers the least of these. But in God's mind, they are the most important. And all God's people said,